The program that was planned for, because this appeared in the district's turnaround contract with the Colorado Department of Education, and it also appeared in the contract that the district entered, a resolution agreement that it entered with the United States Office for Civil Rights to address the civil rights education of emerging bilingual students in the district. And so what had initially been planned was a program, it's a dual language program that went from kindergarten through fifth grade in a biliteracy style, and then some pathways that went through middle school and through high school, because all of our students who are emerging bilinguals don't come to the district at kindergarten. Some of them arrive at sixth grade or at ninth grade. So the program was supposed to be from kindergarten through the high school, through graduation, and culminating ultimately in a seal of biliteracy for the students. What's happened, that through various public comments and in private meetings, the new superintendent there, he's been there for a year now, a year and a half, he has used some statements to distract the public. He has said, "I support bilingual education. We're not getting rid of anything from kindergarten through third grade." Well, for those who are knowledgeable about the BEST programs, he has said two opposite things, because what he's proposed, instead of the program that's considered one of the BEST program models in the country, or in the world even, instead of keeping that program, he's suggesting a program that is the second worst model for emerging bilingual students.
We haven't yet gotten a chance to speak to Dr. Javier Abrego, who is the new superintendent, or people in the school district in Adams 14. However, Dr. Abrego served prior to being an Adams 14. He was in Arizona as a school district superintendent there for 8 years. And that is a state that actually has prohibited this type of bilingual education that you're advocating for here. And in fact, it's the only state now, after California and Massachusetts have repealed similar laws, to use such an English immersion tactic for students who English is not the first language. And so talk a little bit about what's happening in bilingual education around the country, where Arizona, where Dr. Abrego has come from, has this attitude around bilingual education not being beneficial, rather English immersion being the way to go.
What happened in the United States at the time that the English immersion education laws came into effect was a very strong anti-immigrant sentiment. And the laws that were passed were not supported by the majority of the researchers or the practitioners in the field. So what we really were seeing was a political system that dictated a certain type of educational programming. And Colorado, by the way, overwhelmingly rejected this approach in 2000 and 2000. In 2000, it was the Colorado Supreme Court. In 2002, it was the voters who said, no, we won't go with that in Colorado. But the other states that did, after some 15 or more years of experience, were seeing that the students that they were purportedly helping were the lowest achieving students in the country. So those states that were doing the English immersion program, the structured English immersion, and outlawing bilingual education, their students were the lowest performing in the country. So California's voters overwhelmingly turned that around, and the Massachusetts legislature said, the data tell the truth. They tell what the researchers and the practitioners have been telling us all along. So Arizona's the only one that's left, and they were the poorest performing and continue to be for our students who are emerging bilingual. So in what we've seen in Colorado is that the districts that have done more with native language instruction and with developmental bilingual programs are the districts that have seen the greatest increase in academic achievement for their emerging bilingual students. So Commerce City just has to look a little bit south and see how Denver Public Schools, who has been moving slowly, very slowly, but moving towards more developmental and dual language programs, their students are the ones in the state who last year experienced the greatest increase in achievement.
Now, Jorge, you are the executive director of the Colorado Association of Bilingual Education, and I've heard you describe that organization as a civil rights organization. How is bilingual education connected to civil rights? And also, if you could talk about the other impact outside of academic achievement of students who have two languages, what are the cultural and social implications for these students when they don't get an opportunity to have bilingual education? And what does that mean for their family's culture and their family's experience outside of the school setting?
So the United Nations, back, I believe it was in the 1940s, actually declared that the rights of people to have their own languages, of students to have native language instruction, was the United Nations said a human right. So it is a human rights issue according to the United Nations, and the Supreme Court and the federal legislature has told us that we cannot attempt to educate students in a language that they don't understand, because to attempt to do that would be to deny them an education, because if they don't understand, even if we provide the same books, the same curriculum, the same teachers, the same classrooms, if they don't understand the language, they are not receiving an education. So those rights have come as a guarantee from the 14th Amendment, the equal protection under the law, but also through civil rights legislation. So when students are denied a meaningful education, they are denied the right, the civil rights that other students have across the country. So this really is a civil rights issue for us, because education definitely is a civil right. So what happens is that when we take students and we deny those students the right to become bilingual and biliterate, we are actually removing an asset that they have in favor of something that's less. So if I come to you with a strength, that strength of having another language, and you take that away from me and give me only English, you have removed part of my upbringing. You've removed part of my history. You've removed part of my culture. And the impact that that can have on families, on individuals, on entire communities and cultures is something that's negative and well documented. It was because of those cultural connections and those family ties that the first kindergarten was first created in the United States. And it was created to provide German instruction in the 1870s. And the reason that the then superintendent of the St. Louis Public Schools said is that he said, we can't destroy entire families. We can't destroy beliefs and values and systems by not providing our students with instruction in the language that they understand. So this issue of bilingual education, really strengthening families, strengthening communities, and strengthening economies, is something that's not new to the Colorado Association for Bilingual Education. But it's part of our history, and it's part of our sometimes untold history of education in the United States. And certainly we're all aware that as our world grows smaller, so does our need to both communicate and understand other languages and cultures. I don't have to explain, because it's common sense, that if I know more languages, I can do commerce in more languages. If I have more assets to provide a prospective employer, I have greater avenues for achievement economically, individually, in the future.
Well, Jorge Garcia, Executive Director of the Colorado Association of Bilingual Education, thank you very much for talking to us this morning.
Thank you very much.